Hello.
Hello.
This is Down the Line. I'm Gary Bellamy. We're live on Radio 4. Give us a ring, 08000 155 947. Or you can get us on Twitter at Gary Bellamy DTL. Or you can email us on the email, which is downtheline@bbc.co.uk. What is going on in North Africa? Are there sinister forces at work behind the scenes? Are these really popular uprisings, or is someone else behind it? The CIA, Al-Qaeda, or, I don't know, SMERSH? We'll probably never know. That's the thing with conspiracy theories. Last year's inquest into Princess Diana's death proved conclusively that nothing sinister was going on. It was simply a tragic accident. Or was it? If there was a conspiracy, then surely they would just keep covering things up. That's the nature of conspiracies. If you conclusively prove there wasn't one, it simply means that there was one, or something. And what with the internet, there are more conspiracies going around today than there ever have been. Did a plane really fly into the Pentagon on September the 11th? Did the Americans really put a man on the moon? Are David Cameron and Nick Clegg the same person? You never see them together, do you? Well, you do, but sometimes. And what's happened to Vince Cable? Where's he gone? No one's seen him for months. Who knows? Who cares? Maybe you've got some conspiracy theories of your own. Give us a ring if you have. 08000 155 947 or tweet me at Gary Bellamy DTL. And should we ban deep ends from swimming pools? Apparently the Labour Council in Carthorpe have done just that. But what do you think? Are we overprotective of our children? Are we actually doing them more damage by not exposing them to more risk? Come on, what's wrong with the odd grazed knee? The kids out there should be doing all the things kids should out there be doing. The kids should be out there doing all the things kids should be out there doing. The kids should be out there doing all the things kids should be out there doing. Tree climbing, canoeing, conkers, boxing. Do we really need the nanny state telling us what to do? Or should we be exposing our children to higher levels of terror and violence? I mean, I haven't got any kids, so I don't really care, but I'd like to know what you think. So give us a ring, 08000 155 947, or tweet us at Gary Bellamy DTL. OK, let's take our first call. Hello, you're down the line.
Hiya.
Hi.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about conspiracy theories, really.
Mm.
And I've had some thoughts recently about pigeons.
Pigeons.
We actually feel that pigeons are possibly aliens. Because you never actually see baby pigeons, do you? You only see fully grown ones.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Well, I never see pigeon nests, do you?
No, never.
They don't really nest.
I've been wandering around London, you know, bold as you like.
Mm.
Jesus said, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth. And I know pigeons aren't exactly meek per se, they're quite pushy. Mm. But I think they've got a lot to teach us.
So they've come from another planet. What can we learn from these pigeons?
If you look into their eyes, which are quite creepy, you will find a message coming to you if you allow yourself to hear it.
What do you think that message is?
God loves you and wants you to just relax.
Right. That's a very interesting call. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've never seen a baby pigeon. Why not give us a ring if you out there have ever seen a baby pigeon? Hello, you're down the line. Who's there?
Yeah, I'm ringing about the kids.
Oh, yeah, the kids.
Kids today, they have it too easy.
Do they?
They're treated like rare birds. Or unless I'm some endangered species. I mean, they're kids, for God's sake. When we was young, as soon as we was out the back door, we was eating earth.
Mm.
We had a stomachache in our lives.
Yeah.
One day, I ate a dead sparrow.
Mm.
Then I fell off a garage roof onto another boy, cut his head open.
Right.
We got his head patched up by Mum. We're back out immediately, after a glass of milk. And then we went and played fireworks. We had a three-way fight. Fireworks, air guns, and stone fight.
But this sounds to me quite dangerous. Why can't children just have a nice, safe childhood? I mean,
I felt brave afterwards. I felt strong. After the fight was over, we went back to our den, which was just a hole, muddy hole, covered with saplings, and we had that place packed full of cigarettes and dirty magazines.
Thanks very much for your call.
Embassy, Penthouse, Razzle, Senior Service, Melanie.
Let's go to another call now. I've got Gordon Bison on the phone. wonder if he's any relation to Anthony Bison, Professor Anthony Bison, one of our regular callers. Hello, Gordon.
Apropos of your thread or strand regarding swimming pools, I'd just like to point out that my son-in-law has a lovely swimming pool in Berkshire. It's kidney-shaped, but what is generally intriguing about it is that it has no deep end whatsoever, and it is, in fact, shallow all the way around the perimeter, and it deepens into the middle. Right. Thus, there is no shallow end whatsoever. As a result, there is no sense of shame for any of the children who cannot venture beyond the shallow water, as they are all destined to remain in the shallow ends, as it were.
Actually, Gordon, I would like to open up the discussion slightly and not just focus on swimming pools.
But that's absolutely fine with me, Mr. Bellamy. I certainly remember from my childhood that we weren't as mollycoddle as the children seem to be today. Mm. Not for one moment of criticism of today's parenting, but I well remember my father taking me on many holidays into the Cairngorms and other remote Scottish peaks, and on one occasion, during my seventh year, he left me atop Ben Nevis for 2 weeks, but I survived on a diet of goats.
Thanks very much for your call, Gordon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good day to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, my next caller is Simon from Mill Hill. Hello, Simon.
Oh, hello. I phoned before, actually, but under a different name.
Oh, good. So, what are you ringing about?
Well, I'm phoning, obviously, about the subject of Tony Blair.
Tony Blair?
In 1936, on June the 9th...
Yeah.
A plane left London Airport, it was known then.
Right.
With one briefcase on board, bound for Cairo.
Cairo?
It was a minimal crew, although there were two officers from MI5.
Right.
Skip forward 20 years to 1946.
Hang on, you said 1936, you've gone forward 10 years.
Yes, 1956, yes.
56.
That's what I said. September the 4th, another plane leaves from London Airport to Cairo, on board another briefcase, two members of MI6. Right? Now it's 1957.
So it's a year later.
A year later, another plane leaves from London to Cairo. Again, another briefcase.
Okay.
A leather briefcase. But I forgot to say, it was locked. You couldn't get into it.
All briefcases were locked, were they?
Yes, they were all locked. Then, finally, in 1984, two planes, one of them is obviously a decoy, takes off from London to Cairo. Right? Now, they found on the planes, when the briefcases were opened, they all contained envelopes. And in the envelopes was a series of numbers. And when they added the numbers up, it came to Tony Blair.
Hang on. What do you mean numbers spelt letters?
It was numbers, but when you added them up, it spelt Tony Blair.
How does that work?
When they added the numbers
so
up...
So if you add one and five, how does
well, that wouldn't spell Tony. They added the numbers up, and it spelled Tony Blair. 13 years later, 1997, he comes in power, 13, and there's a war.
I don't understand how this works. How do you know that it's spelled Tony Blair? These figures, they could spell any name.
Because the person who told me had access to code systems. Well, in fact, he was actually a code system analyst. So
right.
You don't get better than that, do you?
Let me just ask a question. Who sent these briefcases in the first place?
Well, it couldn't have been Tony Blair in 1936 because he wasn't around.
No.
But he could have done it in 1984, but why would he do it? That's what we want, the MOD, and people like Sir Brian Taylor, to look into the matter because the British public need to know.
And has this got anything to do with what's going on in Cairo now? Has Tony Blair got anything to do with that as a Middle East peace convoy?
I'm sorry, carry on.
Right. You're saying that it was almost foretold that Tony Blair, in these numbers, was going to go to war.
I mean, it's something that has been going around for a bit.
Yeah, well,
I've
not heard of it, but it's certainly
people are aware of
a worry.
It, though. Yeah.
Thanks very much for your call. Bye, Simon.
All the best.
Bye. OK, I've got Julia Fitzgerald on the line. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, what do you want to talk about today?
You've been taking calls on whether we mollycoddle our children.
Yeah.
I would say, never mind the children, I think we mollycoddle older people these days. I think there's a lot of sort of fuss and nonsense about, are they capable of this, and are they too cold, and in my day, there were no such phrases as senile dementia and Alzheimer's and all that. What are they? I mean, they're just made-up diseases for forgetfulness, aren't they?
Well, you'd call it dotty, I suppose.
Yes, dotty, that's exactly it. And you see, the less you're tested, the less likely you are to stay mentally agile. You see, what I do with my mother, completely dotty, sometimes I just take her to unfamiliar familiar places, sometimes a high street in a completely unfamiliar area, or perhaps a wood if we're feeling a little bit more adventurous, and I just leave her there.
So, hang on, you're saying you take your elderly mother...
Well, 86, I don't call that elderly.
...to a strange place, and you leave them there to get home by themselves?
She's been allowed to go soft, that's my point. She's
living in
a home, somebody provides her meals, somebody cuts it up for her, there's nothing she has to do for herself.
There's a difference between being cruel and helping somebody.
No, you see, that's exactly where society's gone wrong. That's not cruel at all. That is teaching somebody independence.
Hang on.
In fact,
yes, but you could just say to her...
people are being patronised these days and told they can't do this.
Well, what else do you do with your mother?
Well, not that close to our home, but close to the home she's in. There's a quite dangerous estate. I mean, it's notorious. It's in the papers a lot. I make her walk through that just as it's turning dark. Not fully dark. I think that would be unkind. I make my mother walk through there. It takes her a while, I'll admit, but do you know what? She's all the much better for it when she comes out the other side, because she doesn't get any exercise where she's living. And it just keeps her streetwise, shall we say, alert. She plays football every Saturday morning.
And hang on, does she play on a team of over 80s or with young... Well, who does she play football with?
Local boys.
Local boys?
Just from the estate, socially mixed group.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that's not a bad idea. Keeps her fit. Thanks very much for your call.
My pleasure.
We've now got Julian Hempsmith on the phone. I wonder if he's any relation to Professor Lucian Hempsmith, one of our regular callers. Hello, Julian.
Yes. I'm ringing in response to a call you took earlier from Gordon Bison regarding his son-in-law's kidney-shaped swimming pool.
Yep.
Well, I'd just like to say that I've seen the pool. I went round one night for a rather dreary drinks party at the house. You would think that one of our leading scientists would have worked out how to chill his wine properly, but that's another issue. Yes, I've seen the pool, and it is by no means kidney-shaped.
Well, what shape was it?
It was more liver-shaped, I would say. And this is just typical of Bison. He regards himself as one of our leading renal surgeons. And the man can't tell the difference between a kidney and a liver. He can't tell his ass from his elbows, tell you the truth. So, whatever I saw you do, is give him a wide berth if you're considering any form of internal surgery.
Right.
Goodness sake, don't consider rectal surgery with him.
Okay. Hello, you're down the line. Who's calling?
It's Nicodemus calling.
Hello, Nicodemus.
No, I don't know if you are aware of the conspiracy that is going on all over the world. You know what happened on the Annunciation. At the Annunciation, Gabriel the Archangel come, and he appeared unto Mary and he said to her, "You have a child by the Lord, and you can born him soon." And she come out of there and gone and give birth to the child, the Lord Jesus, right?
Right.
But from that moment on, everybody on the earth tried to destroy the word of the Lord. The fact that they enunciate them make the girl pregnant, and Gabriel tell her, she know from fact that the Lord don't breed her and make her pregnant. Now you have today wolf in sheep clothing, politician, pope, celebrity, Vladimir Putin, all of them, in the next man, I can't even call out his name, Brian Taylor, he involved in it as well. They're trying to destroy the word I enunciate.
Sorry, who's Brian Taylor?
I can't talk that. I have connection deep inside the Maccabees, and the Maccabees have had his name right down in the book.
Who?
The Maccabee from Ethiopia. Them know about that man. We are talk about. Everybody know that man's name, but don't call it out no more.
I've never heard of him.
Listen to me now. The soul of the Lord was taken from the tomb in Cairo and flown to Atlantis, and in that place the whole all of the perjurers and condemners of the truth. And let me tell you something.
What?
When that moment comes, it will be the sword of vengeance. And in there shall come the archangels, and they shall just mash up everyone and the sinners. And the Lord shall stand right up on the throne, in his flame and his glory, and he shall say, "Come in,
calm down,
them who can enter here. Blood, fire, and brimstone shall destroy them in the furnace of righteousness.
Thank you.
And all of them shall suffer for their sinners."
I'll have a pint of what he's having. Please don't be frightened by these people. They've got absolute nut jobs on this today. Mind you, that's what happens when you talk about conspiracies. Let's go to the... Who's Brian Taylor? Hello, Cindy.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to talk today about the banning of deep ends in the swimming pool. Yes. I think that would be a very, very good idea.
Why is that, then?
One can drown in 2 inches of bath water.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the deeper the pool, the bigger the problem. I don't understand why people need to dive anyway.
Right. So, if we close down swimming pools...
Well, I'm talking about the deep end. I think a smaller pool is lovely.
You say that people can drown in 2 inches of water. How deep is this pool of yours?
Well, I, I think you could just have a very thin film of water across the base of the pool, and then you can slide around and enjoy yourself very, very well.
Thanks very much for your call.
Bye.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello there. Right, I have two pools at my disposal. I am an Olympic-sized swimmer on the grounds of my property. It is 2 metres deep, and the main pool floor is hand-tiled in marble. Each tile depicts a gold medal-winning athlete, and the detail is incredible, right down to Mark Spitz's moustache. And on the roof of my property, I have a giant freestanding replica of the Trevi Fountain, and my stunning wife frequently reimagines the famous scene from the Dolce Vita featuring Anita Ekberg. Beat that.
OK, our discussion about mollycoddling kids has been somewhat hijacked by people ringing in about swimming pools. So please, no more calls on that. Let's take a look at some of your tweets. And there's one here from Muhammad Hussein, who says, God is great, God is great. I don't like your show. God is great. Thanks, Muhammad. OK, I've got Humphrey Milner on the line. Hello, Humphrey.
Yes, hello there.
Hello.
Gary, I've been listening to it. Well, actually, to tell you the truth, I was only half listening to the show. Normally, I listen quite closely, but I was preparing a sofrito, and I wasn't really listening, so I'm not sure of the exact context, but I overheard the name Sir Brian Taylor mentioned.
Yes.
I was at school with Sir Brian Taylor.
Oh, were you?
He wasn't Sir Brian Taylor.
No.
I was at school with him.
Well, who was he?
He was just plain
Brian.
Derek Taylor.
Ah, so you're talking about Derek Taylor?
Well, no, he changed his name afterwards to Brian Taylor, and now, of course, he's Sir Brian Taylor.
Right.
But no, I remember even at school, Brian was a very secretive boy. And it was no surprise to me when he went on to work for Senex and Medwin.
What's that? What's Senex and Medwin?
Senex and Medwin is where Sir Brian Taylor worked for many years.
Right.
I wasn't listening to the context of the call.
Right.
What context did his name crop up?
Conspiracies.
Oh, he's involved in a conspiracy, is he?
Humphrey, sorry, can you just explain to me exactly who Sir Brian Taylor is and what he does?
Well, of course, now he's the head of Netherbridge.
So what's Netherbridge then?
Well, it's what we call the Netherbridge Institute.
Yeah, but what does it do?
Well, many people have been asking that question for a number of years.
Well, if there's anyone out there, any callers who knows what the Netherbridge Institute is, give us a ring and...
Steady on there, Gary.
What?
You can't be throwing this open to the general public.
Well, what is it?
It's
what's
best,
the big deal?
It's best just to keep quiet about it.
No, I want to know what it is now.
You don't want your callers calling and they give themselves in terrible hot water.
Humphrey.
Well, I really shouldn't have brought up the Netherbridge Institute. It was a slightly risky, of course, talking about Senex and Medwin. And I think if we carry on down this road before long, we'll be talking about shade water and we really don't want to get into that, do we?
What? All right. Thanks very much for your call. OK, we're talking about conspiracy theories, I think, and I've got a caller on the line, and, oh, I don't know who it is. Who is it?
Look, good evening. My name is Benjamin Alimilia.
Hello, Benjamin Amuele.
I have some strong evidence, because I have some involvement in the higher echelons of the Zimbabwe government, that there's a plot afoot to do some very serious damage to the Zimbabwean leader, Mr. Robert Mugabe.
Yeah.
And I have some good evidence, because I've seen the documentation on this, that they were intending to not just assassinate the man, the great leader of our country, but remove his heart and take it back to Downing Street and display it in a glass case.
I don't think
so. As a way
so.
Of humiliating the Zimbabwean people.
Hang on. That's the sort of thing some people may accuse Mugabe of doing, but not our British government.
You see, this is what we're up against, propaganda on the airwaves.
I don't think we wouldn't take the heart of Robert Mugabe and display it in a cabinet.
No. What's the matter with you? No, I mean his hat, his H-A-T on his head.
His hat?
His hat. They want to take his hat.
Why would they want to take his hat? I can understand why they take his heart, but not his hat.
They believe that his heart contains the power which has allowed
him...
His hat. His heart, that's right. They believe his heart has the power which has been controlling the nation for the past 20 years, allow him to be the leader, and therefore no one can come and to get rid of him or remove him from power by political means, fair or foul.
So you're saying if they remove his hat, then he'll lose all of his power?
No, that's not the case. That's not the case, my friend. But they are believing in that. In fact, I also heard that they are trying to get his jacket as well. No, it's not a laughing matter. It's just they are completely.
What
trying.
A load of old claptrap!
They want to leave the man standing naked in the palace in the hope that that will make him a laughingstock.
Well, if any of that's true, I'll eat my heart. Thanks for your call.
Thank you, okay.
I should never have suggested this conspiracy theory topic. If anyone's got any calls on swimming pools, let's go back to that. Who have we got next? Hello.
Dorothy Payton.
Hello, Dorothy. You're down the line.
When I was 18, I got a holiday job.
Yeah?
At Netherbridge.
Actually, I'm not really sure I want to talk about this anymore.
What people don't realise is it goes for miles underground.
Where did you work? What department?
Well, we worked in Unit B.
What exactly was Unit B?
Unit B dealt with anything that couldn't be processed by Unit A. And, of course, if we couldn't deal with it, it would go on to Unit C.
Right.
And in many ways, it was a happy time. Mm. But we were kept very much to ourselves. And I still see some of the girls. Mm. I'll say one thing, which we didn't realise at the time. None of us can be exposed to sunlight comfortably anymore.
You can't be exposed to sunlight. All right, thanks for your call.
Gary, someone's at the door.
Okay, we seem to have lost her there. Thank God we've got the voice of reason now. It's regular caller Early D. Hello, Early, and I gather you want to talk about being soft on the kids.
All right, listen to me. I'm not too good at the moment, you know, because I've got like a little flu things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've got like a little cold business, right?
Yeah, you know? I've got, it's going around at the moment. It's always going
around.
All right,
around, hold on a minute, man. Just let me blow my nose, eh?
All right.
Nice. All right?
Yeah, you better now.
Boy, I tell you, them cold germs, they're fierce, innit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not bothering me, man. It doesn't bothering me, you know, because I'm a warrior, innit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Soon as any little germs come near me, I just, like, tell them to just move out, you know?
Yeah.
I fling them down, you know? I give them some...
When you run down, what do you... So you get flu when you run down?
No,
I get...
Now, the point I'm making, right, is that, like, when I was a youth, right, and I had a little cold or cough or anything like that, my mother, right, used to strip me off naked, right, and put me out in the yard, right, just to make me strong.
That is almost abuse.
No, man, don't bother with them Esther Ransom business, man. We don't need them things, man. I'm telling you, that's what's made me into a lion, innit?
But lions have fur, and they live in quite hot countries.
I'm a lion in Alderton, right, and the reason I'm a lion, right, is because my mother...
How old were you when she put you out in the garden?
Three weeks old, she put me out there.
3 weeks.
I'm telling you, I was like, cool. She had to bang me against the sink to tear me out. But that was what has made me strong. It's made me into a lion.
You're a lion with the flu.
Nice.
Thanks very much for your call. Cheers. Okay, next I've got Magda on the line. Hello, Magda. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, do I have to have something to talk about?
Yeah.
Oh, I just calling in.
Okay, that's a little bit vague. Well, we're talking about whether or not we're overprotective of our children. Any views on that?
No.
We're also talking about conspiracy theories. Do you have any conspiracy theories?
What is that?
Right. So you haven't got anything to say on any of those?
I don't know any of those things.
So what do you want to talk about then?
I have a dog.
Well, dog isn't exactly a topic, but it's something to talk about. So, yeah, what's your problem with your dog?
Dog, it drives me so mad.
Right.
This dog we have, I don't even like it.
Oh.
And it's always going away, running.
Well, thanks, Magda. It's been great to talk to you.
Bye.
And I hope you get everything sorted out with your dog. Who's there? Hello?
Hey, Barney! What's all this conspiracy stuff, man? You anti-CIA!
Yeah.
You goddamn commie! You goddamn pinko! Coming down there, gonna break your face with my great big American hand, face, break. Hey!
Okay, we've just got time for a couple more calls. Who have we got next? Matt, I'm not getting anything on my screen here. Matt!
Hello, Gary.
Hello.
Hello, this is Caroline Taylor. I'm Sir Brian Taylor's wife. I've got to be quick. He's just in the next room. But I need to set the record straight about Sir Brian and let him know
that... Hello, I'm leaving my glasses anywhere.
I've got to go.
I'm having a lot of people hang up on me tonight. Matt, still haven't got anything on my screen. Who's next? Hello.
Hello, Kelly. Hello there.
Hello. Hello, Graham.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, you know what? I'm tip-tops.
Well, we're good. I'm really enjoying today's show. It's really quite hard-hitting.
It's a good one, though. It's a good one. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
It is, and it's actually struck a chord with me, Gavin.
Has it?
Because, yeah, well, you know what I'm saying about the kids today? You know, a lot of them are stuck inside with their computers, aren't they? They never get outside, and it's leading to a lot of, well, health and social problems. And that reminds me of me, because as you know, I don't get out a lot because of my size.
Hope you don't mind me asking, Graham, but have you always been big?
Well, you see, Gavin, when my mum was pregnant with me, she took these painkillers. They were on trial, actually, Gavin.
Right.
And I do believe that they had a direct effect on my condition now.
Oh.
You know, even from birth, I had very big weight fluctuations, and it had caused an adenoidal problem with me, you know.
That's awful.
I know. And we are currently involved in a litigation with actually a firm that is a British subsidiary of an American multinational pharmaceutical company. I can't mention the name, although you have alluded to them. I can't mention their name because we're sub-judice at the moment.
Well, hang on, so it's one of the companies we've been talking about tonight on the show.
We haven't proved anything at the moment, but we have contacted the solicitor and we're instigating proceedings, but it is quite tricky, Gavin, because my mum's memory is not what it was, and I don't know whether that's a direct effect of the pills or whether it's just old age and it's starting to kick in, you know.
This is awful.
I mean, for instance, not 20 minutes ago, I asked her for, you know, some sugar puffs, and she's come upstairs and she's bought me a bacon butty, Gavin. I mean, obviously I ate it anyway, and it was very nice, but I wasn't in a bacon butty mood. I was more in a sugar puff mood, you know? Oh, hang about, there's someone coming up the stairs now, actually. Mum, is that you, Mum? Mum?
Graham? Are you all right?
Oh, hello, Mum. You've remembered the sugar puffs now, there we go. That was just my mum, Gary, and she's remembered the sugar puffs this time. Gary? Gary, are you there? So I'm very quiet.
I'm here.
Oh, not your usual chatty self, Gary.
The thing is, Graham, we have a lot of people trying to blame other people. That's the whole point of conspiracy theories. But actually, the person to blame is probably yourself. It's your own responsibility.
You probably just eat too much, don't you?
You sound very different, Gavin. I mean, not just your attitude, although it is a little bit harsh, and your whole voice sounds slightly different.
No, it's exactly the same. It's just it's a new studio, and it's all digital now, so it's not like it used to be.
It's a much harsher tone on the microphone.
Right, well, maybe that is it, the digital sound fluctuation, then, Gavin. It's making your voice up. I'll take your point, though. I don't, of course, I bear a personal responsibility, but it would seem to me, Gavin, very foolish to deny that there are strong forces at work in this world.
I don't know. It's all too easy to say nothing's our fault. Our lives are controlled by some faceless international corporation.
I mean, conspiracies, they're a bit of fun, but we all know it's a lot of old nonsense, really, don't we? Thanks for calling, Graham, and thanks for all your calls. That's the end of this show and the end of this series, and I'm just off on a very long round-the-world trip, so good night, sleep safe.